Shalom to all. Today's daf is Bava Metzia, daf Samach Aleph, and we're starting Samach Amud Beis about three lines off the bottom with the words Tan Rabbanon. And today's daf is sponsored Lili Nishmas Maris Merim Sar Bas Yaakov Moshe Her Neshama Should Have an Aliyah, and Lili Nishmas Maris Rivka Bas Meir Zev Her Neshama Should Have an Aliyah. And we just concluded explaining that when dealing with Ribbis Dai Raisa, one is over two lavim simultaneously, Nashech and Ribbis. And now we look for a source in the pasuk. So the Gemara tells us Tan Rabbanon we have a Raisa. The pasuk tells us as Kaspa Chalisit Loim Nashech Uvim Marbis Loisit Tenachlecha. So we see the word Nashech and Marbis being spoken about in the pasuk. Now Eli El Nashech with Kaspa Ribbis. I only know that when dealing with loans of money, one would be over Neshech, and when dealing with loans of food, one would be over Ribbis. Neshech ba'eichel minayin. How do I know one would be over Neshech when dealing with loans of food? Tam lama, because we have another pasuk that says Neshech eichel. Let's just quote that entire pasuk. It says loy sashech lachicha Neshech kesef Neshech eichel Neshech kol davar shayishach. So you see the pasuk says very clearly Neshech eichel. The pasuk continues Ribbis b'kasef minayin. How do I know one's going to be over Ribbis when dealing with loans of money? Tam lama, because this very same pasuk says Neshech kesef. And some chalaf amar alfa on top. If this pasuk is not necessary to teach us that a person is going to be over neshech when dealing with loans of kesef, shari kvar nemar, because it already says in the pasuk lois hashech lachicha tenayu inyan l'ribbis kesef, apply it to ribbis of kesef and not neshech of kesef. We continue in leil b'loive. I only know this is talking about the loive. When the pasuk says lois hashech lachicha, that means don't pay interest to your brother. So I only know these isurim of neshech and ribbis apply to the borrower that he's not allowed to pay interest. B'malvi minayin, how do we know these isurim apply to the malva, to the lender as well? That's because we have a gzer shava. Nemar neshech b'loive, nemar neshech b'malva. It says Neshech by Loive and Neshech by Malve. The Pasuk on Malve is the one we had earlier as Kaspacha Loisiten Loive Neshech. Don't give your money to him for Neshech, meaning when you lend your money, there shouldn't be any Neshech there. And therefore, we compare the two. Ma Neshech Amar Beloive, Loichalak Dubai, Bembe Kasav, Bembe Oichal, Bembe Neshech, Bembe Ribbis. Just like when we're dealing with the Loive, there's no difference between a monetary loan or a food loan, and there's no difference between Neshech and Ribbis. As we had just said, one's going to be over all of them when we're dealing with the Loive, Af Neshech Amar Malve. So too, when we're dealing with the Malve, Loichalak Dubai, Bembe Kasav, Bembe Oichal, Bembe Neshech, Bembe Ribbis. There's also no difference between a loan of money or of food, neshech and ribbis, one is going to be over all of them. We continue, Menayel Rabbis called over. How do we know to include an interest on all sorts of things, not just food loans or money loans? Tam lema, because the pasuk says, neshech kol davar asher yishach. So we see that anytime this transaction involves interest, even though we're not specifically talking about an interest of food or money, still there's an iser. However, Ravina says, lo neshech ba'eichel v'lo ribbis b'kasef tzrich yikra. We actually don't need a pasuk for neshech ba'eichel and ribbis b'kasef, meaning we don't need to have a gzer shava. If the pasuk would have been written like this, the way that we just read it, as kaspcha lisitloy b'nashech va'achlecha b'marbis, kedika amrit, it would be like you said, meaning we would have to use this gzer shava. But hashach sev, now the pasuk is said differently, as kaspcha lisitloy b'nashech uvemarbis lisitinachlecha. Namely, the words nashech and marbis are right next to each other. So kari behachi, we could read the pasuk as follows. We could shift the comma over, and then we wouldn't need the gzer shava. How would we read it? As kaspcha lisitloy b'nashech uvemarbis, don't give your money with nashech and marbis, and this would be putting the comma after the word marbis, and now we're going to shift the comma to before the word nashech. So here we see that by shifting the comma over, we could read Neshech and Marbis by both Kesef and Eichel. As it ever wouldn't need the Gzer Shava. As the Gemara, what do you mean? Vatana Nemar Nemar Kamar. The Tana in this Brisa said Nemar this and Nemar that. Namely, that we do need the Pasuk to tell us this. In other words, we need the Gzer Shava. So what do we do with this? So we answer no. Hachikamar, this is what the Tana is saying. Ilu loy Nemar Kra, if the Pasuk would not be written like it is, Hayisi Amar Gzer Shava. So now I would say, I have to have a Gzer Shava to teach me that there's Neshech and Ribbis by food and Kesef. But Achshav Shenamar now that we have the pasuk written the way that it is, gzera shava loitzarich, we don't need the gzera shava. So we continue asking el gzera shava lamali. So what do we need the gzera shava for? If we have gzera shava, that means zalach l'mosh mi Sinai. It's a tradition all the way from Moshe Rabbeinu. So you can't just throw away gzera shava. We must use it for something. The answer is l'neshech kol davar asher yishach, to say there's an iser of neshech by all sorts of things. Deloy kasav malve, that's not written by the malve, by the lender, and therefore the gzera shava is used for this to say that a malve has an iser of interest when dealing with anything, not just food or money. And we further explore. Amar Rav, Rav says as follows. Why do we have to have three different psukim? One for ribbis, one for gezel, one for aino. They all fit under the same category. You're taking something from somebody illegally. You're not allowed to charge ribbis, you're not allowed to steal from him, and you're not allowed to overcharge him. So what do we have to have three different psukim for? We could technically have one and learn the others from that one pasuk. And the answer is three. We need all three psukim. Because rachmano lav beribbis. If the pasuk only wrote the lav of ribbis, I might say there's a lav of ribbis. Mishum the chiddushu. It's a chiddush. Why so dafil b'leiva asur rachmano? Because the Torah even asur the leiva. Whereas by the other ones, there's technically a mechila. We can technically say by Aino and Gezel, that the one who was stolen from or overcharged, he's Meichel, and there would be no Isser. So we can't learn from Ribbis. And because Rachmano Lav Gezel, if we only had the Lav of Gezel, I might say Mishim Makarche. This is because it's against his will. Aval Aino, but overcharging somebody, Emolai, I might say there's no Isser over there, because not similar to Gezel. It's not against the person's will. And because Rachmano Lav Aino, if we only had the Lav of Aino, I might say Mishim Dloyad Demachel. He doesn't know that he's being overcharged, that he's able to be Meichel on this overcharge. And perhaps that's why it's Isser. But in the case of Gezel and Ribbis, where the person knows that he's losing out, and so perhaps we would say it's a different level of Isser, therefore we wouldn't be able to learn just from Aina. The Gemara says, you're right. We can't learn one from one. So let's learn one from two. Meaning we don't have to have all three psukim, one about Gezel, one about Aina, one about Ribbis. We just have two of them and learn the third from there. So the Gemara asks, hey, Tasi, okay, so which one are we going to learn from the two? And so would you suggest, that the Torah should not write the law of Ribbis, and learn it from those, from Gezel and Aina? Well, I'll tell you, we can't do that because Malahanach can't Shalemidas. These other ones, Gezel and Aina, are Shalemidas. Shalemidas over here means they're against his will, they're without his consent. Gezel is being forcibly taken from him, whereas Aina, he doesn't even know that he's being overcharged. Talking about Ribbis, are you going to say the same applies by Ribbis? Demidaite, it's with his will, he knows that he's paying interest, and maybe there would be no Isser by Aina. So we have different suggestions. Do you want to say that the Torah should not have written there's an Isser by Aina? But Tezim Hanach, learn it from the other two, namely from Ribbis and Gzela. Well, Malahanach, what about Gzela and Ribbis? That this is not a classic case of Mekach Memker. These don't usually happen in classic business situations. Aina is a business situation, whereas Gezel is one person stealing from another, and Ribbis is a loan situation. Perhaps we can't learn Aina from Gezel and Ribbis. So finally, we do have a good suggestion. The Torah should not write the law of Gezel, and we should learn it from the other two, from Aina and Ribbis. To my parchas, what would you ask? Mal Ribbis, Shekein Chedesh. The Ribbis is different because it's a Chedesh, it's unique, so we can't learn others from it. Aina Techeach Aina will prove that it doesn't make a difference, that even though it's not a Chedesh, nonetheless, the Torah says that you're not allowed to take this money from him, and therefore we would be allowed to learn Gezel from there. And then you'd suggest that Mahal Aina Shekein LeYadu Machel, that Aina is unique in its own way, that the person doesn't know that he's being overcharged, that he's able to be Michael that, and therefore we can't learn Gezel from there because Gezel the person does know. Well, Ribbis Techeach will learn from Ribbis, that the person does know, and it's still Aser. V'chazer Adin, and it's circular. This is not like that, and that was not like this. But the common denominator is Shekein Gezloi. The one is taking unjustly from somebody else. Afani Avi Gezel. I'll also bring in the case of Gezel. The one is unjustly taking this money, and you're not allowed to do so. Therefore, we're holding right now the Gemara. We actually don't need the pasuk of Gezel. Why does the Torah write it? So the Gemara tells us, Amri, they said, Hachinami, you're right. The Torah doesn't need to write Gezel for Gezel itself. El Lav Gezel Amali. So why does the Torah write the Lav of Gezel if we don't need it for Gezel itself? The answer is, look, Avi Shachar Sachir, to tell us of a different Isser. The one is not allowed to hold back payment owed to an employee. You hired somebody, you have to pay him, and you're holding it back. That's an Isser, and that's what the Lav of Gezel is telling us. Ask the Gemara, Kavish Chayar Sachir, Behedik Sivbei. We have a Pasuk Beferish that tells us about Kavish Chayar Sachir. You're not allowed to withhold wages. What does the Pasuk tell us? Loi Sashik Sachir Ani Evyon. You're not allowed to press a Sachir, a hired worker, who's an Ani and Evyon. It's not just if he's an Ani and Evyon, even if he's very wealthy, you're not allowed to press him by not paying him. So Torah tells us very clearly that you're not allowed to withhold wages. What do we need the Pasuk of Gezel for? The answer is, Laver Olav Bishnei Lavim, to say that if you withhold the wages of your employee, you're over two Lavim, not just one. Ask the Gemara, if you're telling me that this Lav of Gezel is teaching us that you're going to be over a double Lav for something, so v'lokum ribbis v'ayna, why don't we just apply it to ribbis and ayna, v'lav ra'al b'shnei lavim, that when a person is over ribbis or ayna, he gets two lavim, also a Lav of Gezel. Why apply this extra Lav to kayv yishchar sachir and not to ribbis and ayna? The Gemara answer is davar lama minyanai. Whenever we have a question like this, we're going to learn me'in yanai from its context, meaning we're going to apply it to something that's relevant in this context. Samachavim is on top of yanai the sachir ksiv, and this has to do with the inyan of a sachir of a hired worker not getting paid. The pasuk tells us loy sashik esriacha v'loy sigzol. So we see the isser of gzela is written right next to the isser of withholding wages, and therefore it makes more sense to take the pasuk loy sigzol and use it to apply double isser as opposed to ribbis and ayna that are not mentioned in this pasuk. Now we just continue with a similar limud loy signevu because rachman olamali. Why does the pasuk have to write loy signevu if we just said that loy sigzol is able to be learned from ribbis and ayna? So what do we have to have the pasuk of loy signev for? That could technically be learned from there as well. So Gemara says lechetanya for the following brisa loy signev amanas lemeket loy signev amanas l'shamtash lemekefel. This is an isser of geneva even if a person just trying to make it. He's just trying to start up with somebody. He's trying to annoy him. He doesn't intend to steal it for good. He's going to bring it back to the guy he stole it from. He just wants to make the guy meshuga and think his thing was stolen. That's also an isser of gzela. And there's also an isser to steal in order to pay kefil. Let's say your friend is very poor. He doesn't have any money and he's not going to take a gift from you or a loan or anything like that. So you come upon a genius idea. I'm going to steal from him, be brought to Bezdin, and be chayav to pay him kefil. And here that's the way I'm able to give him money. The Torah is telling us that type of geneva, even though it's done with good intentions, is still usser. And we continue in this vein. Why does the Torah need to write a lav by mishkalos in regards to making false weights? We can learn this from Aina and Ribbis. This is another type of stealing. And as we said, that we can learn gzela and geneva from Aina and Ribbis. Well, let's learn this type of stealing, the lav of mishkalos. Pasuk's telling us that there's an isser for a person to take his weights and put them in salt. That makes them heavier than what's actually written on the weight itself. And sometimes the seller would use the buyer's weights. And if the buyer's weights were heavier, that means that the seller has to give him more produce than he actually deserves. And that's what the lav of mishkalos is telling us. As the Gemara, Hen gezel ma'alyahu. That's just a classic case of gezel. Why do we need a pasuk for that? The answer is Lav Rala Mishas Asiya, to say that he's over an Isser from the moment he does it, from the moment he puts his weights in salt to make them the untrue weight, even though he never actually used these weights to cheat somebody, till he's over the Isser. We continue with a similar Joshua Tanarbanu Vibrasa tells us, Lois Hasu Aval Mishpat, don't do wrong in Mishpat in judgment, but Mida Mishkal Misura, Mishkal is weight and Misura is a liquid measurement. Pamida, what does that mean? Zumidi is karka. This has to do with measuring the land. Shalim Dai La Echum We're measuring land for two brothers who are splitting up an inheritance. We're now allowed to measure for one during the summer, one during the winter. During the winter, the rope is wet and it's able to be stretched to its full length, whereas during the summer, it's dry and constricted and it's not able to stretch to its full length. And so the one who's being measured for during the summer is going to get less than the one measured for during the winter. And that's dishonest. But Mishkal, what does that mean? Weight? That he's not allowed to take his weights and put them in salt. And with Masura, what does this mean? Liquid measure? He's not allowed to have foam form. Back in the day when they would pour their wine, if they weren't careful how to pour, so foam would form at the top. And after the foam goes down, so there's some missing out of that measurement. And that's considered cheating. It's kind of like pouring somebody a full cup of Coke, but the top third of it is just that foam, is the bubbles. And after they go down, you have less than a full cup of Coke. And that's what the Pasuk is telling us. Masura, you have to make sure that you pour a full cup of Coke. And the Brassa continues, it's a kalachimer. Ma Masura, just like we're dealing with a liquid measurement, shehi echad mishlosh v'shisha b'loig, it's 1/36 of a loig. It's a tiny, tiny measurement. Hikpidol of Tyre, the Tyre is makbid and says you have to be very careful when you're pouring so as to make sure there's no foam that forms on top because that's considered cheating the person, even though it's a tiny bit of foam. Kalachimer, lahin, v'chatzihin, v'shlishsehin, revisahin, v'loig, v'chatziloig, revisaloig. For sure, when we're dealing with all these measurements that are much bigger than a Masura measurement, one has to be careful that the foam doesn't form on top because then he's going to be cheating the person out of much more. And continue to talk about this in a slightly different context. Rava says, "Lomeli the kosher rachmani tzias mitzrayim by ribbis." Why does the Torah have to say tzias mitzrayim by ribbis when the pasuk talks about ribbis? It says, "Anishal mekeichem asher tzias yaschem me'eretz mitzrayim." And tzias mitzrayim gabei tzitzis. Why mention tzias mitzrayim by tzitzis and tzias mitzrayim by mishkalos? Why by lav mishkalos does it mention tzias mitzrayim? By all of these, it says, "Anishal mekeichem asher tzias yaschem me'eretz mitzrayim." What does it have to do with mitzrayim? And the answer is, "Amar kosher baruch hu Hashem is saying, 'Ani hu shivchati mitzrayim.' I'm the one that differentiated in mitzrayim between tipa shel bachar l'tipa she'ena shel bachar, between a drop that caused a bachar and a drop that didn't cause a bachar. During Makas Bechiras, it wasn't just the firstborn to the mother that was killed. It was also a father's first child. And sometimes a Mitzri woman would have many firstborns because she had multiple children from different men. And again, even though it wasn't her Bechar, it was their Bechar. So Hashem was the one that differentiated who's considered Bechar and who's not. And the same way Hashem did that, Ani husha asli para, mimisha talam aysam benachri, umav aysam lisa beribes, somebody who claims that his money is really a guy's and he lends him to Yid with interest, meaning he lends money with interest and he tells the Yid, oh, it's not really my money. I'm just managing a guy's money. Hashem's going to know what's the truth. And umisha talam mishkalas melech, Hashem can also punish somebody who puts his weights in salt. Misha tala kala ilan bigdai, and to someone who puts kala ilan, which is indigo, on his garment, by metchilasu, and he says it tchilas, and he tries to sell it like that. Tchilas is very expensive, and kala ilan, indigo, is a cheap imitation, which looks like tchilas, but it's not actually tchilas. And so if a person tries to do that, in all these situations, he's the only one that knows that he's doing something wrong. Other people do not, and Hashem is going to be the one that punishes him. And that's why we mentioned Tzias Mitzrayim. And now we read Tzias Mitzrayim regards to something else. Ravina ikla Sura de Pras. Ravina visited the city of Sura, which is on the river Pras. This is not the classic Sura, which Rav had established a yeshiva in. This is a different surah, which is on the river Pras. Amar Rav Chanina Misura de Pras, Ravina. Rav Chanina, who's from the surah on the Pras River, asked Ravina, Yitzis Mitzrayim to Kal Shachmani Gabi Shratzim Lomeli. When the Pasuk writes the Isra of Shratzim, of creepy crawlies that you're not allowed to eat them, why does it mention Yitzis Mitzrayim? And so Amar Ravina told him, Amar Kosh Baruch Hu, Hashem is saying, Ani hu shivchanti bein tipa shel bachar l'tipa she'ena shel bachar. I'm the one that differentiated between a tipa that created a bachar and a tipa that's not a bachar. Ani asli apari, mishma arav kirvei dogma tmeim, kirvei dogma tahirim, umaychon l'Yisrael. I'm going to punish the one who takes the insides of non-kosher fish and mixes them with insides of kosher fish and sells them to Yid as regular kosher gefilte fish. It's very hard for a regular person to tell the difference between these two types of insides, but Hashem obviously could, and he'll punish. So Rav Chanina told Ravina, Ano hamala kakashali. I was bothered by the use of the word hamala in the pasuk. What does it mean, hamala? He brought you up. Maishna hacha hamala because Rechmano. Why over here does the Torah say hamala, who brought you up, as opposed to hamaitzi, who took you out? So Ravina told him, Chatan Rabbi Shmuel. It's like what was taught in the Beis of Rabbi Shmuel. Chatan Rabbi Shmuel. Chatan Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel. Amar Kosh Baruch Hu Hashem said, Imali halasi es shom mitzayim el b'shvil davar zeh she'im tam b'shratzim dai. Had not brought Bnei Yisrael up from Mitzrayim just for this one thing, that they're not matamid themselves by eating shratzim, that would be sufficient for me. And so that's why the word hamala is used, because Yidden are elevated due to the fact that they don't eat shratzim. So I'm wondering if Chanin continue asking Ravino, Umi nafesh igrayu tfei miribis mitzizim mishkalais? Does Yid get more schar not eating shratzim or masim than he does not being over ribis or keeping tzitzis or not being over mishkalais? We'd presume that he doesn't necessarily get more schar. So why are we saying that a Yid is more elevated because of shratzim as opposed to these other things? And so Armalei Ravina answered him, Afagav de loy nafesh igrayu tfei, even though Yid is not necessarily going to get more schar for not eating shratzim or masim, mi'isil mechlinhu, it's disgusting to eat them, and therefore they're more elevated on a spiritual level. It's not there's more schar. That's what Rav Chanina originally understood. It's just that they're more elevated spiritually because they don't stoop to the level of eating shkatzim or masim, and that's why the word hamala is used. Now going on to explain the second part of the Mishnah, we had said, ve'ezu tarbis, hamara v'peiros. What's tarbis? That's someone who's marav peiros. Ketzar was an example of this. Lakach menu chitim medin or zov v'chulu, and we had a whole case about this. So I think we're asked, atokol hani darmin ad hashto lav ribisu? All the cases we mentioned in the Mishnah up until now are not cases of ribis? Of course they're cases of ribis. There's scenarios of both neshech and ribis. Even though the Mishnah said ezu neshech and mentioned these cases mentioned in the beginning of the Mishnah are still an isser of ribis. So why is the Mishnah now saying what's a case of ribis? We already mentioned a case of ribis. Amar Ravo answers ad kanchal Torah. Up until here, we're talking about Dei Raisas, that a person is going to be over both Neshach and Ribbis, like we spoke about previously. Mikan Ve'elch Shal Devrayim, from here and on, meaning when the Mishnah says, what's Marbis, that's talking about Ribbis Dirabanan. And Rava also said, Akash Shal Tar, Mikan Ve'elch Shal Devrayim, up until here in the Mishnah, is talking about Ribbis Midai Raisa, from here and on, is Ribbis Midrabanan. And we continue, Adkan, up until here in the Mishnah, we can apply the following pasuk, Yachin Rasha Ve'ilbash Tzadik, that a Rasha prepares, but its Tzadik will wear, which means the Rasha is the one who charged the Ribbis, and he's preparing it for his child who would inherit him, who's the Tzadik, who's going to end up benefiting from that Ribbis that his father ended up charging. As for Adkan Vesulai, only the ones we mentioned in the first part of the Mishnah could have this pasuk applied to it, and not the ones mentioned in the second part of the Mishnah. Why not? If in Ribbis Dei Raisa, which again is the first part of the Mishnah, we say that the Yairish is allowed to keep that Ribbis and benefit from it, so for sure Ribbis Drabanan is allowed to be kept by Yairish. Yomar says you're right. El, rather, how do we understand it? Afilu Adkan Yachin Rasha Vilbat Tzadik, even up until here, meaning even when we're dealing with the first part of the Mishnah, which is talking about Ribbis Dei Raisa, a Rasha charged it and he's not going to benefit from it, but his kid, who's a Tzadik, he'll be able to benefit from it. And of course, Ribbis Drabanan. Furthermore, Adkan Ribbis Ketzutza, up until here, meaning the first part of the Mishnah, is talking about Ribbis Ketzutza, which means set or pre-arranged Ribbis. Mikan Ve'elech, from here and on, the next part of the Mishnah, Avak Ribbis, is considered Avak Ribbis, literally translated as the dust of Ribbis or secondary Ribbis. This is just Ribbis Drabanan. Now we're beginning a discussion whether or not a person is able to demand his Ribbis back and if Bezin can force it to be returned. So Amar Belezer says as follows, Ribbis Ketzutza, Yotzeb Dayanin, Avak Ribbis, Eno Yotzeb Dayanin. Ribbis Ketzutza, pre-arranged or set Ribbis, which again is Ribbis Dei Raisa, that's taken away by Dayanim, meaning Dayanim can force the lender to return that Ribbis, whereas Avak Ribbis, which is Ribbis Drabanan, cannot be taken away by Dayanim. However, Rabbi Yochanan says, Afil Ribbis Ketzutza Nami Eno Yotzeb Dayanim. Even Ribbis Dei Raisa is not to be taken away by Dayanim. They can't force the lender to return it. So Amar Yitzchak says, my time to Rabbi Yochanan, where's Rabbi Yochanan get this from? What's his reasoning? That's because Damar Kar, the pasuk tells us. This is a pasuk in Yecheskel that says, B'neshach Nasan V'tarbis Lakach, he gave on interest and he took Ribbis, V'chai, should he live? Lo Yechia, he shall not live. Is Kol Tevis Ha'ela Asa, he has done all these abominations. And it's important to read the continuation of the pasuk, Mois Yumas Dam of Ba'yia, he shall surely die, his blood shall be on him. What do we learn from here? L'misa Nitan, V'layli Shavoin, pasuk is telling us that he's going to be punished by death, Misa B'dei Shemayim, but not that he has to return it. We have another source, Ravad Brava Amar, he says, Amar Kar, the pasuk tells us, Al Tikach Mita Neshach V'tarbis, V'yoreisim Elikecha. What do we learn from this pasuk? That a person has to fear Hashem, that he's going to be punished by Hashem, but not that he has to actually return the ribbis that he took. And again, that's even ribbis Dei Raisa. Rav Amar Rav has a different source. Migufa Dikrash Miale. He says Rabbi Yechanan learns it from the pasuk itself. The first pasuk he quoted ended off by saying Mois Yumas Dam of Ba'yia. And what do we learn from here? Hokshu Malvi Ribbis L'Shevchei Damim. We compare somebody who lends ribbis to somebody who spilled blood to a murderer. Ashevchei Damim Lenit Nuli Shavain. Just like somebody who murders somebody else can't fix it up because he already killed him, so he can't bring it back to life. Af Malvi Ribbis Lenit Nuli Shavain. So too, somebody who lends with ribbis is not chayiv to return it. Maybe Lotzis B'dei Shemaim he is, but Bezin is not going to make him return it. We're going to stop here for today, which is really right in the middle of the discussion, and pick up tomorrow, finding a source for Rebbe Elazar's opinion. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.